This week, a federal jury in Virginia ordered a military contractor to pay more than $10 million for cheating the government on work performed in Iraq. The civil suit against the Custer Battles Company was the first contractor fraud case stemming from the Iraq War to make it to trial. It was brought by whistleblowers who accused the firm of a war profiteering scheme that involved overbilling the government. Reporter John Mulligan covered the trial for the Providence Journal and joins me now. Welcome.
Hello, Debbie.
First, can you just tell us a little bit about this firm, Custer Battles, and what they were doing in Iraq?
Custer was Scott Custer, and Battles was Mike Battles. They were a couple of former Army officers they'd met in the airborne, and when the war began, they went over to Iraq to see if they could do some business.
And what came out in the trial as far as the kind of business that they were contracted to do and what they ended up doing?
The focus of the trial was something they called ICE, the Iraqi currency exchange, where the old Saddam Hussein dinars were gathered up and incinerated, and new currency was put into all the banks all around Iraq in a very short period of time. And they needed camps to house the workers and to be the headquarters for where the trucks would do all this driving. These guys built the camps in a big hurry within a month or 6 weeks, late in the summer of 2003. And they had to keep these camps going and feed everyone and provide the vehicles and that sort of thing.
So what did they do that was fraudulent?
Well, the jury believed the charge of the two whistleblowers, one guy a subcontractor for Custer Battles and the other an employee, that they created a number of subsidiary companies in the Cayman Islands. Bill Mills is what the lawyer for the accusers called them, and used these entities to draw up fake invoices from whole cloth, sometimes for several tens of thousands of dollars, some of them for $1.2 million and very large amounts like that. One of the dramatic allegations that came up in the trial that the jury accepted completely was that a particular invoice contained one line item for a bunch of forklifts to be leased to the CPA, to the American-led occupation authority. And it turns out that these forklifts had been swiped from the now-defunct civilian Iraqi airline at Baghdad International Airport, where Custer Battles had another job going on. The forklifts were swiped. They were painted blue and leased at a cost of some hundreds of thousands of dollars back to the CPA, and then billed for these large amounts of money.
Now, how did Custer Battles explain these actions?
Well, the defense said in general that this entire misadventure was the product of confusion during a chaotic wartime moment. It was the product, too, they say, of spite. They charged that Mr. Baldwin and Mr. Isaacson were disgruntled former employees who turned around and sued them and tried to blow the whistle on a perfectly legitimate piece of work. And there was testimony that they did an okay job on setting up these camps for the currency exchange.
Now, this was the first case of war profiteering in Iraq to go to trial. Do you think there will be others?
Well, there's one case that we know is on the conveyor belt toward trial in this very same courtroom, $16 million in allegedly false claims, again, by Custer Battles against the Coalition Provisional Authority for a different contract. This was their contract to provide security at the civilian side of Baghdad International Airport after the fall of Saddam Hussein. The charge is that at a time when they didn't have much work to do because the airport was shut down, too dangerous, they were double and triple billing the government for what they weren't doing.
John Mulligan is a reporter with the Providence Journal. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Debbie. I enjoyed it.